Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening and Merry Christmas Eve to everyone out there all settled in at home. We're so happy if you're joining us live tonight. And I hope that you're tucked in and relaxed and ready for a big day and thinking about loved ones, whether they're near or far, and just enjoying the moment.
And thinking about the big man.
Thinking about the big man.
And if you're a kid, you need to be in bed.
Exactly.
Because Santa will not come until you are asleep.
I know.
It's just the rules. He knows. We've never been on the air Christmas Eve or haven't. Christmas Day.
It's special. I love it.
It is kind of weird.
Yeah. And I have nothing to do tonight. I'm just going to relax and let that big guy do all the hard work, right?
You know, I don't know why that just made me think of, but there's a number of Sears mail order homes in town here in Astoria.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I look at one of those, I just think, that came in a box and somebody put that together. And I can put like my kid's bike together on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, you can't, right? You can't put it together. All those fun things.
And a big house comes in a box.
Right.
And they put it together and it's still there 100 years later.
So that is not on your list.
No.
Do you ever get coal?
Coal?
Yeah.
Well, sure, of course, on me.
Yeah. I give my dad coal every year.
Do you really?
I do. When I was a kid, I thought it was like it just cracked me up, right? Because I was the kid that gave her dad, and I'd like sneak it in. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't necessarily be in the stocking. It would just be in a gift.
Uh-huh.
And now you can buy so many things like with coal.
Oh, sure.
So I still do it.
Wow. So, that's very funny.
There you go. All right, Dad, if you're listening, you know what's coming tomorrow.
Now he knows who's giving it to him.
Right. He knows.
Commercial. So, the last of the plum pudding, 26th through the 30th.
Yes. And the Quila kids had a blast. They were on their best behavior and they liked the plum pudding this year.
Oh, they're getting older. Their tastes are getting refined.
Yes. The smallest one, Kaya, not so sure. She kind of, you know, made a mess of it on her plate and tried it, but all the other kids liked it.
See, we were all speculating. We knew one plate came back that was like almost none of the plum pudding gone. But it was all broken up.
Yes, that was Kaya.
And we were arguing amongst the staff and volunteers. I say she didn't really like it, but she wanted to be active with her fork.
Yep.
And not just sit there shaking her head. And some of the other folks thought she must have heard the legend that sometimes there'd be a coin in it. And she was searching for the prize.
Oh,
and I said, no.
Nope.
I said, I guarantee it was the youngest one.
Yep.
And it's just not something she liked.
And sometimes, too, she'll try different parts of something, thinking it'll taste different.
Oh, well, sure.
So.
Well, like the crust of something versus.
Right. True.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But they had a blast. Some cute pictures. So lovely.
Outstanding.
Yes.
And you also took the big family to the Oregon Film Museum.
Oh, we've been so many times in the last 2 weeks, because it's holiday break, right? So we have lots of extra time.
Did they make movies?
Yes. We had to ask for an extra card each time. So we have so many movies, because of course, you know, the parents had to do it too, and kids. And
excellent. Yeah. See, we used to have props, but when COVID and everybody was spraying everything down, we took all the props out.
You don't really need props.
Well, that's sort of just to make sure that the people don't monopolize and take forever.
No.
We haven't brought the props back, but it was always kind of fun because we had puppets, we had wacky hats.
Oh, interesting.
There was lots of different things that kids could play with and make up their stories with rather than just totally freestyling.
And see, we were all by ourselves, and so the kids were so loud, I mean, and laughing, and your folks up front just kept coming out saying, you guys are having a lot of fun.
Excellent.
Like, yeah, we are.
That's what it's there for. That's why I've always said that the film museum experience is the best when it's a Tuesday morning in February.
Yeah.
And you'll have the place to yourself.
Yep. We went on a rainy day.
Versus, a Saturday in July. It's going to be crowded.
It is. Yeah.
So that's why we ought to expand it. We ought to make up a new one.
But it is kind of funny, I bet, to watch other people do the other scenes.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I would like to do that. I've never been. So.
We had a thing early on where we started putting some of them on Facebook and on our YouTube channel. And we kind of fell away from that, but we do have thousands and thousands of movies. And technically, the very first screen that you hit gives us permission to use any of your footage to do anything we want.
And you hit it several times too. My friend and I did one together and it was embarrassing so much. I mean, but, and the kids just thought we were hilarious, but we were really into it.
I always say when somebody comes in, if I've seen them really acting over the top, I say there's some powerful overacting going on back there.
Yes, we have that.
All right. We got a big show, so we should get right to it. So the big history highlights, the, oh, actually, no, you got a word.
Word of the day. This could be said for the big guy who's going around the country tonight. A popinjay.
A popinjay.
He is a popinjay.
Okay, this is somebody who just comes into your house for a very short period of time and leaves.
That would be a good answer, but no, this is a person who dresses and acts with vanity and extravagance. Because if you're Santa, you have to like own it, right? You have to believe in what you're delivering. So a popinjay.
Or is that just the outfit that people wear at the North Pole?
Oh, could be.
I mean, is he extravagant?
Right, or just that one night.
Although, of course, you always see him dressed differently than the elves, so perhaps it is vanity.
Yeah. And extravagance. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not a bad thing.
No, not a bad thing.
Okay.
All right. So these
history highlights.
These are things that happen tomorrow, December 25th. We've never had.
Yes.
In the 28 years we've been doing this radio show, we have never had to do history highlights for December 25th.
Oh, I love it.
So this is kind of strange. So 1066, William the Conqueror crowned King of England, completing the Norman conquest of England. William the Conqueror. I just wonder if he has a brother named James the Accountant. Right, don't laugh at that. You're only going to encourage me. All right, 1621, Governor William Bradford of Plymouth Colony, Massachusetts, forbids game playing on Christmas Day.
We're going to get more into that. Just a little bit.
No game playing. 1776, George Washington crosses the Delaware River.
Okay. Cool.
And of course, a victory that the colonies needed, but not a gigantic one that changed the course.
He didn't lose.
But it did give a great, well, no, he actually won. Because he surprised them. They were all drunk.
Oh.
Because they'd been celebrating Christmas Eve, all the Hessians. So they weren't prepared.
Oh, interesting.
And all of a sudden he shows up, and I think he takes about 1,000 prisoners.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah. So totally lost. And I think only like 4 colonists got killed. Mm. So it was a good victory, but it wasn't a big, giant battle that meant a lot in the course of everything.
Okay.
All right. I actually had about a whole page I could have read on that, but I gave you the quick version.
Yes.
There is a great painting, though, of course.
Okay.
But I always question, why is he standing up in a boat? At the front of the boat. That's not safe.
Right.
All right. George, what were you thinking? All right. 1941. We probably will talk about this later, but White Christmas, written by the formidable composer and lyricist Irving Berlin, receives its world premiere on December 26, 1941, on Bing Crosby's weekly NBC radio program, The Kraft Music Hall. It went on to become one of the most commercially successful singles of all times.
I love it. We did an entire episode on White Christmas.
We did.
I love that one.
1991, Mikhail Gorbachev resigns as president of the USSR.
On Christmas Day.
Yeah, we miss him. I miss the thing on his forehead.
Yeah.
I kind of liked him. Yeah. He was a good compliment to Ronald Reagan.
Right.
The two of them playing off of each other kind of worked.
It did.
For me. All right, but our history highlight of the day is a tie.
Ooh.
337. The earliest possible date that Christmas was celebrated on December 25th.
Okay.
Or 352. So 337 is the earliest possible. 352 is the first definite date Christmas was celebrated on December 25th.
Okay.
So the thing I think had the most impact, we start celebrating Christmas. So we have to say, well, why isn't it like year zero?
Right.
So we may discuss this a little bit
more. It is in there, yes.
But just a straight out Christ is born. Although most Christians celebrate December 25th as the birthday of Jesus Christ, few in the first two Christian centuries claimed any knowledge of the exact day or year. So nobody really knows.
Right. It makes sense, right?
Anyway, history of the day, though, when we start celebrating Christmas.
You knocked them all out of the park. I didn't have any extras.
Is that your Christmas gift to me?
That's my Christmas gift. And that I brought some fun Christmas trivia and Christmas fun facts.
All right.
Let's just get started. So Christmas is celebrated on December 25th and is both a sacred religious holiday and a worldwide cultural and we all know it, commercial phenomenon. For 2 millennia, people around the world have been observing it with traditions and practices that are both religious and secular in nature. Christians celebrate Christmas Day as the anniversary of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, a spiritual leader whose teachings form the basis of their religion. Popular customs include exchanging gifts, decorating Christmas trees, attending church, sharing meals with family and friends, and of course, waiting for Santa Claus to arrive. December 25th, Christmas Day, has been a federal holiday in the United States since 1870.
And it's actually a holiday for the Clatskanie Historical Society.
Oh,
we let everybody stay home.
Oh, that's nice. So
we don't have a lot. We don't have a lot of days that we do that.
That.
All right. So shall we get some fun Christmas facts?
Fun facts. Let's go.
All right. So Santa Claus has his own Canadian postal code.
Like that.
So the North Pole is actually part of Canada.
Is that
what we're to understand?
I guess, yeah.
Those letters to Santa don't always go unanswered. In Canada, the postal code H-O-H-O-H-O, ho-ho-ho. I should have read that.
I know.
I should have read that ho-ho instead of trying to spell it. But I was expecting a code, is designated for Santa at the North Pole. Every year, Canadian children can send their letters to this address to receive a personalized reply from Santa through Canada's Post-Santa Letter Writing Program.
I love that.
Wow, those crazy Canadians.
I know. U.S. Post Office has a similar program as well that helps get those letters to the North Pole and answered as well. Jingle Bells was originally a Thanksgiving song. Jingle Bells was written by James Lord Pierpont in 1857 for his church's Thanksgiving concert. However, over the years, it became more closely associated with Christmas and is now one of the most popular holiday songs.
We always sing it around my Thanksgiving dinner table. No, we don't.
Once Thanksgiving comes, though, I say it's Christmas music every day.
Yes. I was very put off, though, this year buying Halloween candy 2 weeks before Halloween and seeing Christmas candy already out.
I know. It's kind of the norm, though.
And I thought, I don't remember that in previous years. All right. I'm just getting old. In Japan, it's tradition for people to enjoy a Kentucky Fried Christmas. What started as a marketing campaign by KFC in the 1970s has evolved into a widely adopted tradition of eating a bucket of KFC chicken to celebrate Christmas. Many people even place their KFC orders well in advance to secure their Christmas chicken dinner, because if you don't, you're not going to get it.
That's so interesting. I mean, it's obviously, I mean, I think it should also say it's a successful marketing campaign.
Oh, yeah.
Because I wouldn't have thought that would have been one to go over.
No, when my daughter spent the year in Japan, she verified that.
Really?
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer almost had a different name. The creator, Robert L. May, was considering Rollo and Reginald before he finally settled on Rudolph.
Rollo the Red-Nosed Reindeer. See, that could have worked.
It could have.
Reginald, no.
No.
Reggie. Oh, that would work.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So how did the tradition of Christmas stockings begin? This custom is believed to have originated in the early 19th century in Europe. A popular legend involves Saint Nicholas, who, according to folklore, put gold coins in the stockings of 3 poor sisters. Over time, this evolved into the cherished holiday tradition of hanging stockings by the fireplace and filling them with small Christmas gifts.
I like that. The first Rockefeller Center Christmas tree was actually small. Construction workers placed the first small, undecorated tree at Rockefeller Center in 1931. These days, the famous tree features more than 50,000 multicolored LED lights. That's nearly 5 miles of lights.
Okay, so backing up to stockings for a minute.
Yeah.
So in your household, are stockings filled with just edible candies? Or are there small wrapped gifts in there as well?
No wrapped gifts, but small gifts. Oh, yes. So,
but they're not wrapped.
No.
Interesting.
Yeah. They're just stuck in there. Often I mean, definitely the candy for sure. But I want to say like perfume and things like that.
Okay.
Bath stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, if I got as a kid a Matchbox car, because it was small, it would go in the stocking, but it would be wrapped.
Oh, interesting.
So you'd empty your stocking and have to unwrap stuff.
Okay.
And invariably, my brother would go through every baseball card instead of just, I got a package of baseball cards, and we'd all have to wait.
Oh.
It's very frustrating.
One at a time.
Yes, one at a time. All right, The Grinch is the highest grossing Christmas film of all time. The 2018 computer animated film brought in $512 million plus worldwide, half a billion. The runner-up, Home Alone, the Christmas classic from 1990.
Okay, we're going to talk about Home Alone, possibly. It's coming up, too. Do you have a favorite of those two? Do you consider those your...
Well, you know, the original Grinch I like. I'm not a Jim Carrey fan.
No. Yeah,
so,
it's
so
scary.
I don't really care for that. And Home Alone, I think I enjoyed it as a younger person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not a little kid. I mean, I was late teenager watching it in 1990. But looking back at it now, it's just kind of ridiculous. And not in like, I know they're stretching the truth kind of way. It just kind of, I mean, the parents, come on, really?
I know. It's
You get on a plane without your kid going to Europe, really?
When my older daughter first saw it last year, thank you, Mark, for showing that to her. She was terrified at the thought of one, being left alone on a vacation, and two, then having people try and break into your house with the purpose of trying to hurt you. These are not things that you teach young children. This year, she only convinced me to watch it again because she says, Mom, I know it's a movie. It's pretend. And, you know, this would never happen. Mm-hmm. And we both did get a good chuckle over, like, the mom, like, midway over the Atlantic being like, oh, where's my child?
Yes. And also, I'm sorry, there's nobody you can call.
Right.
No friends that can stop by and go, oh my gosh, Kevin, we know you're left there alone.
Yeah, I know, nobody. Christmas has been banned in the past, and you did allude to this earlier. In the mid-17th century, the Puritan-led English Parliament banned Christmas celebrations in favor of a day of fasting. Then, from 1659 to 1681, the celebration of Christian was outlawed in Boston. Lawbreakers were fined 5 shillings. Furthermore, the first state to declare Christmas a legal holiday, so turning that over, was Alabama in 1836, and the last was Oklahoma in 1890.
Alabama leading the way.
Yeah.
Surprise. Usually I like to make fun of Alabama, but all right. Wonder what's going on with that. All right. An estimated 85% of American kids believe in Santa Claus, as well they should.
Exactly.
And the average age when children stop believing is 8, according to the 2018 International Exeter Santa Survey. Bonus fact, during the months of November and December, Santa receives around 32,000 letters daily from these believers.
I love it. There's lots of movies now that sort of approach that topic of being a Santa believer or not. And so that's good and nice and helpful. The Friday and Saturday before Christmas are the busiest shopping days of the year. Aren't you glad those are behind you now, folks?
You don't know what I'm doing right after the show.
That's true. Move over Black Friday. According to the recent statistics, the top 10 busiest shopping days in the U.S. account for nearly half of all the holiday retail traffic, including the weekend before the big day. We're here. We're in it. As for the entire holiday shopping season, the NRF... estimates sales reached $936.3 billion. That was in 2022.
Okay, if that's true, then I got a little problem with how much people are spending on me.
Right, you're at the bottom of the chain.
Candy canes date back to 1670. All right, candy cane fan?
Not really.
Nobody is. I don't know why they exist anymore. They look nice.
They do.
They're pretty. But
I know. Wrapping... It's so hard to get off.
Exactly.
And then it's all over my house, too. Yeah,
you bust it as you're opening it. All right. According to history.com, and Lord knows we know that they're correct, the choir master at the Cologne Cathedral in Germany gave the red and white sugar sticks to young singers to keep them quiet during the living creche tradition on Christmas Eve.
That makes sense.
put something
in their mouth and make them stop.
It does keep quiet.
Tom Hanks played 6 different roles in the Polar Express. In addition to voicing the conductor, Hanks also played the hero boy, the father, the hobo, Scrooge, and Santa Claus.
Can the man do no wrong?
I know. Of course he did.
All right. Is he America's most beloved treasure?
He's got to be one.
All right. Why hasn't he made a movie in Oregon?
Ooh, that's a good question.
What does Tom Hanks have against Oregon? All right. Why does Santa live at the North Pole? The famous political cartoonist Thomas Nast established Santa's official residence as the North Pole in several illustrations in the 1800s, according to NPR. At the time, there had recently been a series of expeditions to the Arctic, and the North Pole was thought of as a mythical, magical place.
Of course. So Xmas isn't a recent term. The word actually dates back to the mid-1500s and gets its roots from the Greek letter X, which is the first letter in the Greek word for Christ.
You know, that always bothers me when people get offended at Xmas.
Yes. And then I read this.
And they say, put the Christ in Christmas. And I'm like, they are.
And just, now that we know.
They're just using shorthand. That's true. That has always made me laugh. I just think, come on, people.
I know.
You're just looking for a reason to be outraged. The original elf on the shelf was named Fisbee.
Ooh, that's a fun name.
It's too close to Frisbee. The elf on the shelf was inspired by the creator's own toy elf, Fisbee, who they grew up with in the 1970s. They told HuffPost that Fisbee would report to Santa Claus at night and be back in a different position in our house the next day.
How fun. I wonder if 1970s, and then it just took off.
Yeah.
Why do we kiss under the mistletoe? The popular kissing tradition may have its roots in North Norse mythology. The History Channel reports that Frigg, the goddess of love, promised to kiss anyone who passed under the berry-laden plant after it saved her son's life. It wasn't until the 18th century, however, that the Christmas custom picked up steam in England.
Santa Claus is based on St. Nicholas of Myra. The history of Santa Claus dates all the way back to the 3rd century to a Turkish monk named St. Nicholas, who was famous for helping the poor and sick. Dutch immigrants eventually brought the story of the man they called Sinterklaas to New York, where his legend continued. Mm.
It's a Wonderful Life was a box office flop. Who knew it? Believe it or not, the enduring Christmas classic initially bombed at the box office. It wasn't until 1974, when its copyright expired and TV networks could air it for free, that it cemented its place as one of the most beloved Christmas movies of all time.
Where does eggnog originally come from? I have been asking that question for decades.
It's an interesting drink.
Most historians agree that eggnog is a descendant of the medieval British drink posset, which was made with wine or beer, cream, sugar, and egg, according to the Smithsonian. You, like, went all over the web to find these things.
It is all over the place. But so eggnog, it is interesting.
It's like, disgusting.
I love it. But this makes sense because the original drink came with alcohol, because mm-hmm. that does make it so much better. Right? Yes. I mean, so, okay. 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, which is tonight, actually has a totally different title. Clement Clark Moore's iconic 1823 poem is actually called A Visit from St. Nicholas. It's more commonly known as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas because of its famous first line.
That's sad. None of us know the real name.
Right. Just when you know, you need an editor.
Jingle Bells was the first song played in space. Oh, I love the space stuff. On December 16th, 1965, the classic Christmas song was broadcast during NASA's Gemini 6A spaceflight. Huh. Sweet.
How cool. How did the tradition of Christmas trees begin? Germany started the Christmas tree tradition in the 16th century when Christian families set up trees in their home and decorated them with lighted candles. Each year, 25 to 30 million real Christmas trees are sold in the United States alone. There are about 15,000 tree farms in the United States, and trees usually grow for between 4 and 15 years before they are sold.
It's not a bad return on your investment, 4 to 15 years.
Also, one of the top exports of Oregon. Agricultural exports.
There we go.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola played a big role in shaping the image of Santa. In 1931, Coca-Cola commissioned the artist Hayden Sundblom to paint Santa Claus for the company's Christmas ads. Inspired by the 1823 poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas, the artist created the warm, jolly character we all know today, complete with rosy cheeks, a white beard, and twinkling eyes. Has Pepsi ever used him in an ad?
I don't know. I mean, they like the polar bears. Yeah. No, is that Coke?
That's Coca-Cola too. Yeah. Oh,
see, advertising works on us.
I can't think of. I mean, I'm sure there must have been some television ads.
Sure.
In my lifetime.
That had it.
For Pepsi with Santa. Because everybody uses Santa eventually.
Right. Yep. No copyright. Which fairy tale helped inspire gingerbread houses? We should all guess this. It is Gingerbread houses do date back to the 1600s. The tradition became widespread in Germany after the story of Hansel and Gretel was published in 1812.
Hmm. The NORAD Santa tracker began with a wrong number call.
I love this.
I've never heard this one before. Every Christmas Eve, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, adjusts its satellites to track Santa on his journey around the world. The famous holiday tradition all started in the 1950s when a young child accidentally called a NORAD command center looking for jolly old Saint Nick.
So when I lived in Panama City, Florida, that's where NORAD, one of the bases, is stationed. Mm-hmm. And we got to talk to them about how they track Santa. And if you haven't gone online yet tonight, you can go to NORAD's website. And they even have an app that tracks Santa and tells you where he is exactly. You can zoom in on the country. But it's pretty cool.
Wow. So
they took off with that.
I just imagine, though, something so cool that if the guy who had answered the phone when it was the wrong number just said, wrong number, kid, and hung up.
Right.
Instead of saying, well, let me track the...
We've got more important things to do, like the security of our country.
That's a crack up.
What is the best-selling Christmas song of all time? Of course, it's Bing Crosby's classic song, White Christmas. It's not only the best-selling Christmas song, but the best-selling single of all time.
So Rudolph was a marketing gimmick. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer made his debut in 1939 in a giveaway coloring book created by a copywriter for the Montgomery Ward department store.
Wow.
Montgomery Ward.
Yeah, long time ago. Natalie Wood believed in Santa Claus when she starred in Miracle on 34th Street. The actress was 8 years old during the filming, and she later wrote in her biography that she thought Edmund Gwenn, the actor who played Santa Claus in the movie, was the real deal. I'd never seen him without his beard because he used to come in early in the morning and spend several hours putting on this wonderful beard and mustache, she explained. At the end of the shoot, when we had a set party, I saw this strange man without the beard. And I just couldn't get it together.
I need to go back and rewatch that. I thought that was the real deal.
I would have too. I mean, he's an actor, but he just played it so perfectly, right?
I think that is probably my favorite Christmas movie.
It is pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's just everything about it is well done.
Yes, I agree.
Including the hilarious ending with all the U.S. Postal Service recognizes this man.
Yes.
All right. So why do we leave milk and cookies for Santa?
Why
and
do we?
And carrots for the reindeer.
Yes.
All right. In America, the tradition of leaving cookies and milk for Santa Claus on Christmas Eve took root during the Great Depression, when parents encouraged children to keep their charitable spirit alive in the face of financial hardship.
That's sweet.
That's such an interesting thing.
Yeah.
That when times are tough and we don't have food, you're going to put it out and waste it?
Right. Right. Well, that's true.
I mean, yes, Santa takes a big bite of the cookie and drinks the milk and the carrots nibble.
The spirit of Christmas, right? It's thinking of others. And
the deer do munch on the carrots a little bit.
Yeah.
So what do you put out in your household?
Oh, definitely cookies. The girls make their cookies with frosting, but they also leave Santa a gift as well. So this year, the gift is an ornament. They made him an ornament. They leave it out. Sometimes my older daughter writes him a note or a letter. But I don't know if that's happening or not tonight. Guess we'll find out.
You got to get home and find out.
Yeah. but pretty fun. Should we do a couple Home Alones? Oh, no. We're at the end of the time.
We're at the end of the show.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you do have a happy holiday. If you do celebrate Christmas, whether you do or don't, we hope that you find some love and joy in these last few days of the year. And we will talk to you once again just before the new year.
On New Year's.
Our show
this year is just wacky. Yeah. All right. Go make some history. Have a wonderful Christmas. We will catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.